Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What did we learn around the NFL in week 7? That is the question. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, joins us from Philadelphia at 1 o'clock, top of the hour, 14 minutes from right now. Let's go back and forth. Danny, give me something you learned while watching football yesterday.
The Miami Dolphins should never have called Jay Cutler. Mr. Dour Sourface should have stayed in the booth and muttered his way through games amid a poor man's Tony Romo. They should have just gone with Matt Moore. Here's the thing. There's nothing that Jay Cutler has done to this point that you're going, he's inspired them and led them to 4-2. They've sort of accidented their way into being 4-2. They'd be just as good with the mediocre passing game of Matt Moore than they would for a guy that probably upset the balance of that locker room. They beat the Jets 31-28. Matt Moore came on in relief and was fine. He's fine. They were fine against Atlanta. They were fine against Tennessee when they won that game in weird fashion. They're just okay. Be just okay and go with the guy that brung you.
I learned that you and I probably undersold a little bit how much the Cowboys would miss Ezekiel Elliott if he did get suspended. Having watched the vast majority of that game yesterday, he was such a difference maker. 147 yards and 2 touchdowns rushing. And they had some big holes, and they were plowing the way, but he was such a factor on the second level in extending some of those runs. Dak Prescott went for 234 and 3. 72 of those yards on a screen pass for a touchdown to Ezekiel Elliott, which, by the way, doesn't count because it was a screen and he threw a short pass, and Ezekiel Elliott,
you don't get credit for those.
Ran all the way downfield.
I learned that.
Yeah. It means that you checked it down, though, and you're not actually a good quarterback. Ezekiel Elliott makes that team what they are. You and I have both kind of been on record saying with or without him, they're about the same. That's a great line. Anybody can run behind that group. And some of those things are probably true, but there's a difference between an elite level, super playmaker like him and everybody else, and that was very obvious yesterday.
Tampa Bay ain't good. Tampa Bay is coming apart at the seams, like the 108 stitches in the Church of Baseball. I learned that Tampa Bay isn't very good. I was wrong. I bought in before Hard Knocks because I looked at some of these young players. Doug Martin coming back, it sort of found the fountain of youth a couple years ago after a couple down seasons. I thought O.J. Howard would be a difference maker. I thought Mike Evans, still, in my opinion, one of the 5 best receivers in the game. He's a stud. Add DeSean Jackson to take the top off. Cameron Brate, a 2 tight end look that they could have. I thought this offense was going to be awesome. I thought Jameis Winston would just be going, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown on his way to mid-30s and close to 40 TDs. I thought this defense with a bunch of young playmakers could fly around and stop people. They are fractured like that movie with Ryan Gosling and Anthony Hopkins. It is bad. It looks bad. The operation is bad. They're 0-3 on the road. Ew, you're making me look stupid, Tampa Bay.
The Rams are actually good. I learned that. 4-2 is cute, and that's fun. After the loss to Seattle with a loss to Washington, you've beaten some bad teams. You've had a couple of good games. You've got some quality wins on the resume as well. But now you just shut a team out 33-0 in London. That's how we're doing this now? 33 points, 0 for your opponent. The Rams are good. Bad teams don't do that. They also beat a team 46-9 earlier this year. Bad teams don't do that. You don't accidentally blow clubs out like this. Sean McVay, you will end up being coach of the year. You are an offensive genius. And the difference between that group right now, this moment, on offense, compared to 1 year ago, is the equivalent of firing someone who had no idea what they were doing and bringing in a Fortune 500 CEO. And that's what McVay looks like at this point.
You can do some decent things. I think there's a ceiling on this, ultimately. But it's not a bad recipe in the worst division ever. Okay? That AFC South, to borrow a phrase from the Sports Junkies, a radio show that you may have heard of, they've been in business here for 21-plus years, that division's a big bad ag thing.
Is that division felted?
You would say, judge's ruling, it is felted. What Jacksonville is doing is basically this. It's like high school, Texas high school football stuff. It's like, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to be physical. We're going to run the football, and we're going to stop people. Y'all bring it in. That's all they're doing. They can't throw. They're passing offense. I know they put up 330 yards, Blake Bortles did, against the Colts. They're a disaster on stilts. They ran the ball 37 times for 188 yards. T.J. Yeldon, remember that high draft pick that previously was a giant bust and stunk? 9 carries for $122. Everybody's fantasy darling pickup, Chris Ivory, only ran for 2.8 a carry. But they just kept handing it off and handing it off and handing it off. That's the recipe. Their defense is excellent, and they're just running the ball. There's a cap to that. You can only be so good doing that. You're not beating the really good teams that way, but you can beat enough crappy teams to be in the dance, and they got a shot to win that stupid division just by handing the ball off, hoping their quarterback doesn't screw them, and playing great D.
Here's something I learned yesterday watching football. The Broncos, not who I expected them to be. The Broncos may not make the playoffs. The Broncos are not a threat at all in the AFC. Last week, they lost to the Giants. Giants just couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah, come on.
And then they didn't just beat Denver. They dominated them. They had a bounce-back opportunity in the division against an equally as underachieving Chargers team. And they let LA up off the mat. The Chargers have now won 3 in a row, and they are just a half game back of Denver. Trevor Siemian was not good enough. C.J. Anderson only got 10 carries inexplicably, and I think it was just because they trailed by so much for most of the game, by 14 the entire second half until they fell behind by 21 at the end of the contest. Their leading receiver was a guy I'd never heard of named A.J. Derby, who's
A.J. Derby,
26-year-old tight end from Arkansas. Whatever. I don't know that person, and I wouldn't know him if he was sitting next to me. I'm about to say sitting on my lap, but that would be very weird.
It'd be very strange.
Who am I, Santa? Is he telling me what he wants for Christmas?
Members of the Derby family are like, did you guys know A.J. plays in the NFL? We just found that out. We saw him on Sunday.
Is A.J. on the Broncos?
He's on the team called the Broncos.
When did that happen? Denver's just not good, dude.
No, they're not.
And their defense, fine. Their defense is going to play well enough to keep them in every single week, every single game, and eventually, you know, they're going to win a game or two for this team. But they'd better fix that offense, because if they can't stay balanced running the football, if they fall behind by a couple possessions and they're in throw every down mode, that's not going to do it.
New Orleans is all right, dude. New Orleans is all right.
When did that happen?
I don't know. They were down in this game where Drew Brees all of a sudden got you into the red zone and threw a couple pickles, or driving New Orleans down the field anyway, threw a couple bad interceptions, uncharacteristic bad interceptions. But they stayed very even, stayed very medium. Shout out to Jim Zorn. It's a different guy every week. Ted Ginn this week, 7 for $141. Michael Thomas is normal self. This kid Alvin Kamara can play. The shackles are off now that Adrian Peterson's out of town. They don't have to worry about trying to keep him happy with touches. Kamara is a player. This New Orleans team is right now pretty good. They're not great. They're not world beaters, but they're pretty good. They're good enough to jump up and scare you and beat some people. They won in Green Bay on soft grass, something we didn't think they could do. They won when the weather wasn't ideal. It was raining a little bit up there. They still won that football game. Very impressive coming back. And in the second half, let up one field goal to the Green Bay Packers to win 26-17. A nice ROAD win.
Here's another Redskins-related theme from yesterday. Kai Forbath can make field goals from 50 or longer.
Write that down.
Remember when we were told that he couldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Now you could say, well, maybe he got better. He couldn't back then. That's true. It's almost like if you keep a guy around, you can allow them to improve while they're on your roster. Dustin Hopkins has been fine. Really not that big of a deal. But yesterday, Kai Forbath just had a field goal kicking contest against Justin Tucker, and he was pretty good. Forbath, 52-yarder, good. 51-yarder, good. 43-yarder, good. 34-yarder, good. 32-yarder, good. He made 6 field goals in the game, did Kai Forbath. Happy for the former Redskin. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington is going to join us next. He is in Philadelphia. We're going to get the latest on the Redskins and the Eagles. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? What are the keys to victory for Washington next? We got a Redskins spotlight coming your way at 1:18 right here on The Fan.
Now, I'm talking about right now, folks. It's the time to go see my boys at Ted Britt Ford. They are the best. You're the best. Like the Mendy's Soup of car dealerships. They're the best. Go and see them. You've been thinking about it, right? And you're like, no, I don't love this car that I'm driving. I love it. I like to love my car. You can. Get yourself 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's firstly, or first and foremost. I don't know which is the right term. I know this. You'll get a good value for your trade-in. Then you get yourself a great deal on a 2017 because they got to go, man. How about an F-150? Are you a truck, man? F-150 as low as $19,999. That's the time, baby. 2017 Escape as low as $16,500. 2017 Fusion, just like mine. I'm pointing at myself. Who's got a fusion and two thumbs? This guy. It's parked downstairs right now charging up. This is a Thom Daily line. This is very important. I didn't write this. Thom Daily is doing writing for my advertisements here for Ted Britt Ford. I charge my car downstairs, but I don't charge my card at the gas station. And boom goes the dynamite. He passes to the man. I filled it up twice with gas since May. Go see my pals at Ted Britt Ford. When you buy from them, you get Ted Britt for life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. People new pre-owned, less than 100,000 miles. It does not matter. You get that Ted Britt for life lifetime coverage. Big stuff like the powertrain, little stuff like they'll give you Virginia State inspection. They'll handle that business. Go see them and tell them Danny sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.